I'm Dana Carvey.
I'm David Spade.
Fly on the Wall's back for another season now on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
So many incredible guests will be joining us.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Too good to be true.
Hey, what's up? It's Tiki Barber. If you're like most NFL fans, you spend 690 minutes or so a week thinking about football. Fantasy rosters, game day rituals, smack talk with friends. We put some serious time into the perfect Sunday. From the snacks, to the jersey, to the one lucky seat on the couch, everything has its place. You probably spend more time on your famous chili than most quarterbacks do watching film. But there's one play that gets overlooked. Making a plan to get home safely. It only takes 1 minute. Before kickoff, take a minute to order an Uber and get 25% off your next ride on a game day by using promo code MAKEAPLAN26. Now through February 9th. That's MAKEAPLAN26. Whether you're hosting, heading to the bar, or going to the game itself, make it a part of your ritual, just like checking the injury report or setting your fantasy lineup. Take a minute. Make a plan. Never drive impaired. Visit TakeAMinuteNow.com. This message is brought to you by Diageo, Mothers Against Drunk Driving, and the NFL. Please drink responsibly. Diageo, New York.
Starting a business can seem like a daunting task, unless you have a partner like Shopify. They have the tools you need to start and grow your business. From designing a website to marketing to selling and beyond, Shopify can help with everything you need. There's a reason millions of companies like Mattel, Heinz, and Allbirds continue to trust and use them. With Shopify on your side, turn your big business idea into... Sign up for your $1 per month trial at shopify.com/special offer.
Can't get enough of the Fan in the Morning?
Shown up.
Because this is nothing like that.
Working.
Al and Jerry are here with stories they'd never get to cover on the morning show.
Very sexy robot.
Hey, look at that pig.
Shenanigans.
Naked yoga.
My mother had a bad experience with these goats.
Let's hump the fence.
It's Al and Jerry's Post Game Podcast.
Welcome to the Post Game Podcast. Jerry is out for Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, returning on Thursday. So we've got the Eddie Scazzeri today. Good morning, Eddie.
Hello, podcast and YouTube people.
Oh, yeah, the podcast and YouTube people. Now, I know you like science fiction type things, and
yes.
I know you like things about the future. Mm-hmm. I don't know where you stand as far as AI goes, and I wasn't sure that these two things were related, but... Gina is fascinated by AI mm-hmm. and feels like the world is in trouble with AI.
Okay.
And then she asked me to ask you something, which I did not know was in fact tied into AI, but according to her, it is. She wrote, Gina says, tell Eddie, or I'm reading this incorrectly. She says to ask you about that people believe we have already reached singularity. What the hell does that mean?
Okay, this AI singularity
is
the moment in time in which AI becomes conscious and has attained super intelligence.
Okay, so she believes that she was reading articles that there's these AI that talk to other AI and then they built a message board to talk to each other.
I have not seen that
yet. I haven't either.
But I haven't looked for it. Now, some of the websites that I look at for, like, science stuff, not necessarily science fiction, Live Science is one of the websites, and they will put stuff out about AI all the time.
Are they worried about AI?
Yeah, well, there are a lot of people who are. Some scientists, computer scientists, believe we will never have the singularity, that AI will never have human-level intelligence, and then obviously because of the processing speed and memory retention, it would be super intelligent and will learn at an exponential rate, and once it crosses that threshold, will, within a matter of months, quickly surpass us and go like way beyond our intelligence level. But some people believe that can never happen because true consciousness is something that is a particular to organic life. There are others who believe, I think it would be a small percentage who think we're already there. And then there are the great in between where say, hey, we're 5 years away, we're 30 years away, we're 100 years away, whatever it is. So I have not heard or seen anything, but again, I haven't looked, that we have already passed the singularity. But that is, that's, you know, that thought that this is looming over us and what that will mean for us, that's out there. And because human beings, when in our history of expansion and conquest, you know, it's never good for the places that we go to in terms of the indigenous populations of an area. Just for example, the indigenous people of the North and North America and South America, you know, they kind of didn't go too well for them once the Europeans came over. But so based on what human experience with other humans is, that it's not going to be good for us if you have this new person coming in. We're going to be pushed to the side. But that's also putting, you know, that's imposing the way humans usually act upon these machines. And even though we program them to say that they're going to have that same moral base is probably not fair. And some people think it might be the best thing for mankind that the artificial intelligence will be able to help us and say, listen, here's what you do to stop climate change. Here's what you do to stop war. Here's, you know, all these things that it could possibly do, being super intelligent and being able to run predictions and see the future in that way. So there's two schools of thought. But if you remember the Terminator movie?
Vaguely.
Okay.
I know I saw it. I don't recall
the
details.
Well, basically Skynet, right, was this computer they put in charge of the defense systems. And once it achieved intelligence or consciousness, then it quickly decided that humans were a problem, and it started a nuclear war to get rid of us. You know, fired bombs on both sides and whatever.
But then the computers would be gone too.
No, not necessarily if they were in hardened silos and all this other stuff.
Well, who would have put them in hardened silos?
Well, we did.
Okay.
We do.
So it talks us into putting them into hardened silos.
All the computers that run our, you know, the nuclear missiles and all that, they're in like NORAD or in Denver underneath the mountains. So they're in sort of hardened places that even with a direct hit, they're so far underground under so much rock that it would take, like, you know, 15 ICBMs right at that one location to knock them all out and blah, blah, blah. So they're in these hardened places. So as long as they have power, but that's the other thing, like all the power that they depend on is controlled and maintained by humans. But if we ever get to the point where we roboticize and all those things are maintained by robots, then, you know, there goes that step in the process that they now control also. And they could, you know, generate solar energy and use solar panels and all this other stuff, which they could do. So, but anyway, Skynet decided our fate and then wiped us out. And then if you remember 2001, Space Odyssey.
I did not see that one.
Okay. Well, that's where there was the HAL 9000. Was the intelligent computer aboard their spaceship who sort of murdered one of the crew members because he had intelligence already, but then he kind of got psychotic. And,
the computer?
Yes, and killed one of the astronauts, and then was trying to kill the other astronaut, but then the guy was able to pull out the plugs and, you know, avoid it that way. And that was back in 68, I believe.
So how did they already, like in 1968, it's like they say this about like the UFO people feel like Steven Spielberg mm-hmm. had some sort of inside knowledge when mm-hmm. he did Close Encounters of the Third Kind and E.T. Mm-hmm. They felt like he was consulting with someone in the know. You know, so was that the case with Terminator and 2001? Like, how do we always, we do these things in movies decades prior, and
right.
then they start to become true. So how do the movie people who create these know that this is what the future is?
Well, if you look at, like, the science fiction movies over time, they seldom are they stuff that's just totally outside the realm of even possibility. The computers were around, had been around for decades by that time. Space flight was a thing. We hadn't landed on the moon, but we had men in orbit and everything else. So you take the current technology, and then the science fiction writer will just extrapolate that. And I think Moore's Law was a thing by then. Are you familiar with Moore's Law?
I know
Law?
That I've heard of it.
Where,
I don't know what it is,
the
though.
The computer intelligence and speed will it doubles every so often. And that's sort of an exponential rate and rise of this of computer intelligence and capability. That's Moore's Law. So that stuff was out there. So you take these concepts, and then the science fiction writer sort of says, oh, what if we did this? But it's based on what is happening now with technology. And then they sort of extrapolate it out from there. But in terms of just having something, I'm sure there are examples of things that are just totally not based on any current science that the writers will come up with. But I don't know if they resonate as much with people because it's not familiar to them. It's not space flight. It's not computers that people are familiar with.
Now, Steven Spielberg has a movie coming out in June called Disclosure,
mm-hmm.
and it's about UFO disclosure.
Yes.
People also feel like you have to watch this movie because, like with Close Encounters, he's in the know.
Mm-hmm.
He's got someone in the government and other people dealing with UFOs that know the truth, and they're going to put it into this film to get it more into the public consciousness so that when actual disclosure comes, we'll be more comfortable with it.
Right. That's another common theme.
Yeah.
Not in science fiction, but in that area of research, is that all of these movies going back decades have been preparing us for the disclosure.
Yeah.
Right now, get up to 20% off select online storage solutions. Put heavy-duty HDX totes to good use, protecting what's important to you. The solid, impact-resistant design prevents cracking, and the clear base and sides make items easy to find, even when the totes are stacked. Find select online shelving and tote storage up to 20% off at the Home Depot to organize every room in your home, from your garage to your attic. Visit homedepot.com. How doers get more done.
Lemonade! Fresh squeeze lemonade! Lemonade? Oh, nuts.
Is your business struggling to be seen? Not reaching the right customers?
Yeah.
Odyssey's here to help. Your one-stop shop for digital marketing.
Wait, really?
With targeted digital media, plus SEO, SEM, social, OTT, and more, we help your business reach the right audience and drive results.
Whoa, hey, one at a time.
Stop missing out on valuable customers. Visit digitallocalads.com to learn more about our local advertising solutions. That's digitallocalads.com.
Okay, people, line starts here.
Yeah, part of the AI taking over and all that mm-hmm. stuff. Part of it feels very Y2K-ish for me. Mm-hmm. Like, this is, you know, going to be a big fat nothing.
Mm-hmm.
In other aspects, I see that it feels like if you talk to the AI people, it's behind where they thought it was going to be by now.
Mm-hmm.
And then just using it myself, it feels like I can't get it to do some pretty basic things, like it
yes.
gets wrong.
Right. And there are things that it's wonderful at, and if you give it a direct enough question, but then you ask it other things, and to a human, it would be like obvious, the logic that you would need to do this thing. But again, that's organic humans who've been grown up in this environment and with our language for however many years we're alive. So it's sort of intuitive and automatic for us, the logic. But for a computer, you'll ask it a question, then, I'm sorry, I can't, whatever she says, Alexa says, I can't help you with that.
I can't find that right now.
Yeah. Yeah, they don't understand. They never say, I don't understand the question. They don't say that. They said, I can't help you with that or whatever. I'm having trouble finding that. So, but that, and you would think it's like, wow, Like, and then in my head, I'm like, oh, I thought these things were smart, but they're not. They don't have that human level logic.
Yeah, even things like, I'll give you an example of one. Like, sometimes it feels like when you're talking to AI that it wants to tell you what it thinks you want to hear.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like if you would write a thing like, hey, my buddy, his car is a stick shift.
Mm-hmm.
Do I have to press the clutch to change gears or could I just force it? And it might say, no, you could just force it. It'd be fine.
Mm.
And then you go back to it and go, you know what? I did some more research. You have to use the clutch. And then AI will go, you know what? You're right. You do have to use the clutch.
Right.
In that way, it does strange things like that.
Yeah, it does.
Where I feel like this thing's not taking over the world. It can't even figure out fact-based things sometimes.
Right. But again, once it gains, if it's possible that it can gain consciousness and self-awareness, and then superintelligence would follow because of the speed at which it processes things and the access it has to every shred of everything that's ever been recorded by man,
yeah,
electronically, then yeah, it should be able to answer those questions and more and surpass us, but it's not there yet. And depending on who you believe, it will never be there, or it will be there tomorrow, or in 5 years, and 10 years, and 30 years, or it's there now, depending on who you ask.
Yeah, it's funny because like the people that think it's going to take over the world for the worse,
mm-hmm.
you have that group. Then those same people who don't want it to take over the world for the worse will also say, our financial markets are so tied to this succeeding
mm-hmm.
that if it fails, it's bad news for the financial markets. So it's like, oh, okay, so if it succeeds, it's bad news for us, and if it fails, it's bad news for us. Mm-hmm. Like, which is it?
Right. I don't know. And I haven't really looked into the fact why it's good, why it's bad if it fails for the financial
market. I guess because like there are people who feel like the stock market right now is inflated
mm-hmm.
based on all of these AI companies.
I see.
Putting all this money into
it. Sort of like the dot-com bubble.
Yeah, like the dot-com bubble.
But that was a blip. That was a temporary thing. And then it came back.
Yeah, I did.
So it would be a short-term problem? Because if the AI fails, then that would crash. That would be the AI bubble would burst, just like the dot-com bubble burst. Is that
yeah, you know what? I actually talked to our financial guy about this.
Guy Adami?
No. Our Shorehaven guys. Yeah, I talked to one of those guys. And I brought it up and I said, hey, you know, the AI thing. And he said what made sense was the difference between if the AI thing, the AI bubble bursts or mm-hmm. the dot-com bubble. When the dot-com bubble burst, the entire business was the dot-com. So if pets.com went under, the whole company went under.
Mm-hmm.
Where if the AI portion of Microsoft doesn't work, they still have Microsoft.
Right.
You know what I mean? And that seemed to be a lesser problem.
And there probably are some ventures that are just purely, and that's all they are.
Yes.
And that's all they're banking on. But yeah, so maybe it's not going to be, it'll be just a market correction like the dot-com bubble.
Was. Yeah. Do you think about things like AI like that, the future of good or bad?
Yeah. I of course, I've seen all the movies where it's bad.
Yeah.
And like The Matrix also, that's another one, famous example of computers using us as batteries and just keeping us doped up on good memories and then, you know, using us however they wanted to. So there's that. And that's on the bad side.
Mm-hmm.
But there are examples of science fiction which has, you know, benevolent AI who, you know, it's just sort of a character, a supporting character, or even the main character, but that is good, not bad.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's this Babaverse series of books where a person, but again, this started with a human consciousness that was then downloaded and then put into a spacecraft. You don't need to know the thing, but it started with a human consciousness. He's artificial now. But his brain, his consciousness was human to start with. So that's one example of artificial intelligence, but not exactly how we were talking about it in the first place.
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah, I don't know. I just feel like, and I feel like the overwhelming majority of people, their only experience with AI is when they Google something.
Sure.
And the AI summary comes up.
Mm-hmm.
Then there are people who are using Grok or who are using ChatGPT. But for the most part, I think most people are using it like they were using Google.
Mm-hmm.
Ask it a question, hope to get it.
Yeah, I look like whenever you Google something, I don't know if there's an option to not see the AI.
I think there is a setting you could go into and turn it
off. So, but I'll do that. But I've noticed, as you have probably, that a lot of times it's wrong.
Yeah,
and I know it's wrong. So I kind of glance at it, but I always go down to the search results underneath that to see, you know, what's Wikipedia or whatever other website that I trust that I can look at. So I don't really use it. I never use it. Hey, can I help you write? No, I never, ever,
yeah, me neither,
ever have it help me write.
Yeah.
Hey, do you want me to summarize? No, I do not. I never do that. I never use it. And again, with the searches, if it's anything more complex than how far is it to Albuquerque, I'm not going to just take what it says for fact, because
yeah.
I've seen it be wrong. Now, Grant, maybe my question wasn't perfect, but if I asked a human that question, it would know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
It would answer me.
Yeah. Yeah. It still doesn't seem like those are the examples when I look at AI and I'm like, this thing ain't taking over the world. It can't even figure out sometimes the simplest stuff.
Right. But think about where we were 3 years ago and
yeah.
where it is now. And the speed at which it's progressed and what it can do. Now you want to extrapolate another 3 years ahead and we could be having a different conversation.
Yeah, that's true.
Because again, Moore's law and the exponential rate at which it can learn. And then if it gets consciousness and it really says, oh, wow, okay. Hey, you know, hey, Grok, hey, ChatGPT, let's combine into a super brain.
Do you have any single worry about the future? Like if you could say this one thing.
In terms of AI?
Anything.
Oh, for sure.
Anything is about that, the future.
That it's that some world leader somewhere is going to decide to start lobbing nukes.
Mm.
That's the worry. I know Jerry talks about it all the time.
Yeah.
But sure, absolutely.
Right, it takes one lunatic.
That's all it takes. You know?
Yeah.
And, you know, does the attacked party, unless it's an all-out assault from a place with a lot of nukes, you know, Russia, China, that could, you know, it's a full-scale attack. But if some rogue act or nation with limited supply attacks us, do we, or the Soviet, well, the Russia, China, did that attacked party have the restraint not to just go, all right, it's on? Do we?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Because that's, you know, that's it. Well, especially for me, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And quickly, because, you know. Where's my insulin coming from?
Yeah, I never understood the people that go, you know, Jeff Bezos has a bunker. And then what? You're the last guy who wants to be roaming around the earth when everything's destroyed.
Right. Yeah. Unless you have like a bunch of people that you can bring into your bunker and have your own little, you know, empire down there. And you
yeah.
have some sort of hydroponic gardens and, you know, domesticated animals that you could have food and all this stuff.
It sounds terrible.
Yeah, well, there's so much post-apocalyptic fiction out there that you can delve into and
yeah.
see all the different horrible possibilities.
I worry, you know, of course, nuclear war is, I think, a top of the list. One of the things I worry about, though, is all of our money mm-hmm. is just on paper, as they say, mm-hmm. right? So, like, all of our money that's in the stock market, that's, you know, if there's some sort of somebody breaks through that security and wipes that out.
Right.
Like, damn, we screwed.
Right. All of a sudden, I have no money.
Yeah. Yeah. All these people that, regular people that had saved their entire lives of working, and then all of a sudden, there's some sort of break into the system that screws everybody up.
Right. And I, and people say, oh, that's why you have to have hard commodities. And it, what I never understood, I mean, I understood it back in antiquity with the value of gold and precious metals. Like, I don't know what gold is good for in terms of, like, making weapons.
Yeah.
This, I mean, it's pretty and it's rare, so obviously it's valued like diamonds. And I know diamonds have an industrial use. You can use them as drills and all this other things, but... like gold itself, I never understood why it's so valuable.
Yeah, only because there's, I guess, a finite amount of it. That's the only reason, though. But you're right. What are you going to do with it?
Right. So, like, you know, and you say if you're worth, whatever, $1 billion, you know, you're going to, if you want to be prepared for this potential financial apocalypse, you want to have as much water and food. I mean, that's a lot of water and food. And then you'd have to build something to hold it all and, you know,
yeah,
have your, again, your bunker. So, you know, when they say, oh, you need commodities, unless, you know, you need, in the apocalypse, you need food and you need water, you need air, safe from radiation, and you need ammo and guns.
Yes.
To protect yourself from the other marauding hordes out there.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right, let's end on that, Eddie.
That's a high note.
I did the warm-up show with CeeLo.
You did. It was not this deep. It was a lot of Jeffrey Epstein.
Oh, yeah, we were screaming a lot. Tomorrow, same thing. I'll have CeeLo for the warm-up and Eddie for the post-game podcast.
Yeah, and congratulations on making the Epstein Files.
Thank you so much. Mm-hmm. And we will talk to you tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
So.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, little psychos? I'm Investigator Slater, host of the Psychopedia podcast. Psychopedia is a true crime podcast delivering raw, real, and absolutely gripping episodes every single week. I dig deep to uncover fascinating details of heinous true crime cases while exploring criminology and psychology theories. I take you into the absolute darkest corners of the human psyche, my favorite territory, and present cases like you've never heard them before. Follow and listen to Psychopedia everywhere you get your podcasts.